Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, it's true that some things are hard to do. I think of taxes. Taxes are hard to do, aren't they? There's a big manual that you have to read. If you don't know what you're doing, lots of different forms. If you have your own small business, it's hard. Taxes are hard. Climbing Mount Kilimanjaro, I've heard is hard. I haven't done it. It's hard. Solving the problem of world hunger, very hard. Very hard to do. Some things are hard to hear. Your cat is sick. Grandma is missing. The stock market crashed. Again, all things hard to hear. Other things are hard to accept. I did a search on the internet to see the 25 hardest things to accept in 2012. Number 21 was higher gas prices. It's kind of hard to accept, right? Number 22, higher orange juice prices. I guess that's gone up quite a bit. I don't know. Number 18 was also kind of interesting. The hard thing to accept is when your cell phone, your smartphone, is dropping to the ground, and people get more concerned about that than when you are falling to the ground. Then I did a search for the hardest thing to accept, the very hardest thing to accept, and overwhelmingly, you probably could guess this on the internet, people said losing someone. That's definitely the hardest. And we as Christians, of course, have a great thing to cope because we have the hope of everlasting life because of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. The faith gives us that hope that even if we lose someone, we'll be reunited again in the resurrection. Praise be to God. If you look at the bulletin picture today, or on page 12, if you have your bulletin open, you see there some of Jesus' disciples, and you see Peter talking to Jesus, but you see in the background some disciples of Jesus who are leaving Jesus, abandoning ship, walking away. In fact, it wasn't just a few, and some is an understatement. Verse 66 in our text said, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. How many? Well, we're not told how many, but not long ago, there was the feeding of the 5,000, and actually probably more like 9,000, because it was 5,000 men plus women and children, right? So maybe 9,000. And it said that many of those, that 9,000, kept following him, looking for more bread and listening to the teachings, waiting for more signs. And therefore, this many that turned their back on Jesus might have been the biggest church decline in one day in all of history. It might have been quite a few. And who is to credit for this? Well, it wasn't Judas. It wasn't Peter. It wasn't Herod. And it wasn't even the devil. It was Jesus himself, wasn't it? Really? Yeah, Jesus really credit. He's the one who gets the credit for all these people leaving. Well, in a way, yes, that's true. People took offense at something Jesus said, his teaching. In verse 60, it says, this is a hard teaching, some of the disciples said. This is a hard teaching. Who can listen to it, the disciples said. Well, what was so hard? Why was it so hard? Well, if you think about it, I don't think it was too hard to comprehend. Like, I don't get it. This is just too hard. It was too fast. Or I was sleeping for a second. I missed the most important part. No, it wasn't hard like that. I also don't think it was too complex. Like, slow down. We need a manual or a diagram to make sure that we understand. There's too many factors involved. Jesus, I'm going to need a supercomputer to process exactly what you said in order to understand it. Jesus, can you make a supercomputer for us? No, it wasn't like that. Rather, it was hard for its simplicity and its straightforwardness. Listen again to Jesus' words. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. That's not hard, is it? He continued, and that bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh. So Jesus' flesh equals the bread that came down from heaven, and if you eat it, you have eternal life. I don't think we need a diagram for that, do we? Perhaps it would have been easier, however, if Jesus would have taught about the birds of eternal life. Consider the sparrow, consider the raven, Jesus often taught otherwise. Maybe they would have still followed him and not abandoned ship if he would have been talking about the birds of eternal life, right? And then in our liturgy, we'd probably sing, Hallelujah, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the birds of eternal life, right? Not the words, but the birds of eternal life. Maybe they wouldn't have abandoned in ship, wouldn't have turned their back and not longer walked with Jesus. But no, it's you have the words of eternal life. So what's the beef? What was so offensive about Jesus' teaching? Verse 52, the Jews disputed among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Well, if you think about it, there's really only three ways to understand John 6. It's been disputed a lot in the church, written about a lot in the church, different interpretations. But I think we can summarize these interpretations today three ways. Pretty simply, by the way. Number one is literally. Literally, meaning that the Jews were supposed to eat Jesus. Right then and there, walk up and just take a thigh or take an arm or just to start feasting on Jesus, right? That would be awkward. And you notice nobody did that? But maybe that's what some of them thought. Boy, that's kind of a hard saying. You want us to eat your flesh and blood? I think we call that cannibalism, Jesus. You want us to be cannibals? Because that seems awkward and wrong. No. So the second way to understand the feeding on Jesus' flesh, spiritually, by faith, they were to consume Jesus' words, his teaching that he is the bread of life. As Jesus previously taught, no man can live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Therefore, hear and believe the gospel, and hearing and believing the gospel is like eating Jesus' flesh and blood and consuming that bread of life. So therefore, hear and believe, and you have the promise of eternal life. That's a spiritual eating, if you will, a spiritual eating of the bread of life, the bread from heaven. And by the way, this interpretation has been accepted by many theologians and reformers of the church. Even our Lutheran reformers said, yes, that's what he's talking about, a spiritual eating. They weren't supposed to literally go up and take just an arm and eat it. They were supposed to receive the message, the teaching that Jesus gives as the bread of life, the bread that came down from heaven, that they are be one with Jesus, right? They affirm that kind of thinking, that interpretation. This, however, explains why the Jews who were listening found it hard to accept. It's because they rejected the Spirit of God. This was a spiritual understanding, and they rejected the Spirit of God. They worshiped the letter of the law, but they didn't receive the Spirit of God, the Spirit of understanding and wisdom, that all of God's works and his ways are found in the way, the truth, and the life who is Jesus. They rejected Jesus. They didn't want to accept Jesus, and therefore they didn't want to eat the bread that came down from heaven. This is too hard, they said. The third way to understand this text from John 6 is what we call sacramentally. In the sacrament, right? That Christians would actually physically feed on Jesus' flesh sacramentally, that is, by eating the bread of the Lord's Supper, like we do here on Sunday mornings when we come to the Lord's Supper, have the bread where Jesus says, this is my body. Now, this is not something that the Jews and the disciples would have understood yet. Okay, not yet. Why? Because Jesus had not yet instituted the Lord's Supper. But I think you know how Jesus thought. He often would predict the future. He predicted his cross. He predicted his resurrection from the dead. He spoke about things that were to come. And I think you can see here a picture that Jesus knows what was going to come when he does institute the Lord's Supper. And now we should listen to these words once again sacramentally. Whatever happened in the Old Testament, all the eating of the bread in the temple, the bread of presence, is also something being done again when Jesus comes to earth, born in Bethlehem, the city of bread, the house of bread. He is the one born in the house of bread. And now we feast on him, not just spiritually, but also as Jesus has in mind, sacramentally, a gift he's going to leave the church, that we feast on this gift of eternal life and taste and see that the Lord is good. The sacramental understanding of Jesus in John 6 assures us of Christ's real presence in our lives, especially on Sunday morning when Jesus blesses the bread, breaks it, and distributes it among us, saying, "This is my body given for you." Listen how important, listen how necessary, listen to how comforting and how life-giving are these words when you think about them sacramentally today, okay? Listen to these words again. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." You think about that when you receive the Lord's Supper today, the bread that you eat, the bread that Jesus with his word says, "This is my body." You eat that bread, you will live forever. What a great comforting gift, huh? What a great glory and a great honor that God gives us this bread to assure us that all our sins are forgiven and that we have eternal life with our God. Praise be to God. Now, there may be three ways of understanding John 6. Literally, spiritually, sacramentally. But there are only two ways of responding to the text and Jesus' words in John 6. Two ways of responding. And both those ways are found in the text, too. There's the "how can" way, and there's the "you have" way. The "how can" way is the way of doubt. "How can these things be?" the disciples asked. How can he give us his flesh to eat? How, or as my brother used to say, "How now, brown cow?" In this way, many turned their back on Jesus and walked with him no more. And yet a small remnant remained, the 12. Jesus asked the 12, "Do you want to go away too?" Implied, "Do you think my teaching is too hard to accept?" Simon Peter answered on behalf of the disciples. And maybe this is how Simon Peter got the reputation of being Simple Simon, because he probably didn't think this was too hard to understand. Simon Peter obviously didn't think it was too hard. The Father had granted to him truly to come to Jesus. It says in the text, the Spirit draws all those to come near to Jesus. The Spirit drew him. The flesh is of no avail, the text says. He had a spiritual understanding. He had faith. Simple Simon said to Jesus, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You have the words of eternal life." What about us today? Is Christianity too hard, or is it simple? Do we accept God's word as the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Is it simple and straightforward? Do we believe? That is not to say that there's no mystery involved in God's word. Sure, there's mystery. It's not to say that there aren't teachings that are not as equally simple. Some are deep. Some are harder to comprehend. Some are meat, not milk. But when we hear the deep things of God, how do we respond? Do we say, how can these things be? How? Or do we say, you have the words of eternal life? When we hear hard things, may we learn to pray. Open our minds, O Lord, and draw us near to you, so that we may see things as they truly are. For you are the Holy One of God. For our God has wisdom and knowledge and blessing and words of eternal life for us. He is the bread that came down from heaven. May we therefore learn to sing with the song, feed me now and evermore. Feed me till I want no more. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in faith in Christ Jesus, the bread of heaven. Amen.